This morning's reading is from Matthew chapter 18, which is on page 985 in the Church Bibles. Matthew chapter 18, and I'm starting at verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. And the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
There's a phrase in the English language which says, if the cap, like this one, fits, wear it. In other words, if this applies to you, listen carefully, wear the cap. Jesus tells stories, they're called parables, and he's saying to anyone with ears to hear, if the cap fits, and it does, wear it. This story is one in which you and I, if the cap fits, wear it, are in it. We're the main character. We're the servants of the king. You and I, Jesus is saying, are invited into the courtroom, the throne room, which is the presence of the king. If the cap fits, wear it. And you come before him as I do, and it's a place potentially of transformation. Over the last weeks, we've been thinking about a theme called Change Your Mind. It's all about how God wants to do that exactly for you and for me, to change our minds. It's a promise in another place in the Bible, Romans 12:2, which says, "Therefore, be transformed by the renewing of your mind." In this story of Jesus, the king gives this incredible gift to the servant in order to change his mind. Unfortunately, he doesn't receive that gift. The writer of the Psalms described what the change mind looks like when he said, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. Forget not everything he's done for you." A mind, a heart, a soul that's been changed is one of praise, of thankfulness. Just ask yourselves for a moment, if you would, this question that's on the screen. I'll read it. So what's on your mind right now? If there were 5 seconds of silence, where would your mind go to? Okay, that's your answer. Where Simon Peter, his mind would go to right at the beginning of our reading, is probably, it looks like, if you've got a Bible, keep it open if you would, or remember it with me. He's remembering somebody who's really annoying in his life. And he doesn't actually name him or her to Jesus, but he asks the question, Jesus, how often should I forgive someone? And what's on his mind is this very particular someone. Maybe that's where your mind went to. Somebody in your life, and they really owe you big time. Maybe your mind wanders to things that could be ahead of you, that are worries of things that could go wrong if only they could be sorted out. What's on your mind? Jesus is in the business of renewing your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind into a mind and a soul and a heart that praises the Lord. Oh, my soul, whatever your circumstances, whatever your upsets in your past, whatever the worries are of the future, this story is all about the King. His name is Jesus, who wants to renew your mind into one that is one of praise and thanks. An attitude of gratitude. It looked like what I had yesterday, about 15 hours ago. I was in Nice Airport, just ready to fly home at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And as I arrived after 9 days away in France, I looked up at the departure board and saw flights to London all being cancelled. Why on earth is that? When you're 9 days and you've never looked online, you're blissfully ignorant of Storm Dennis and every other storm in the whole world. So I went online and said, Dennis. But then I looked at the departure board again and I checked more carefully and saw there was one flight, EZY 2717, to Luton. My flight. It was still going. Praise the Lord, an attitude of gratitude. But then as I got into line to check in my baggage, a family ahead of me pulled out and others looked quite nervous. And I thought, maybe I should be as well. I had this picture of pilots and cabin crew in Nice Airport, all of them looking at one another, checking Storm Dennis, 50 miles an hour of winds blowing over London. And each of them saying, no way. Except the team flying EZY 2717. They looked at each other with a steely glint and said, we'll give it a shot. The SAS team of the EasyJet world. And my thankfulness turning ever more into nervousness, particularly at 30,000 feet when the coffee stopped being served because it couldn't stay in the cups, and increased even more over West Sussex as we started our descent. I don't fly a lot. I'll be flying even less from now on. But I understand that in the jargon we had what's called a bumpy landing. And at that moment, the whole of the aircraft burst into rapturous applause. It would have been a standing ovation, except the seatbelt lights were still on. My normal tactic of checking the stewards didn't work because they'd all been strapped in and were out of sight for a long time. Praise the Lord, we said. Was that an attitude of gratitude? No, not really. Actually, we're exactly like the servant in Jesus' story. Because by the time I got to passport control, and certainly by the time I was out of the airport, I'd pretty much forgotten it. except I might use it, I thought, as a sermon illustration, hadn't really changed my life very much. Jesus wants to change our minds, as the king wanted to change the minds of the servants who came before him with this impossible debt. It's the equivalent of millions of pounds. And now the king wants to be repaid. You could work for centuries and not get this money. So all you have and all you love will be lost. Verse 26, he falls on his knees and asks for pity. And incredibly, the king cancels the debt and lets him go. But he goes out unchanged. You see, I'm not sure if this connection is really clear, but essentially, he's like me and every other passenger on EZY 2717. Because you see, when we bought our tickets, we entered into a contract and we were entitled to fly. Yes, we're going. Praise the Lord. We were entitled to be served coffee. That didn't quite happen. We were entitled to land with our luggage. We were entitled to that. And when we did land, well, I've been asked this morning for a review of EasyJet and the pilots, and I'll give them a good one. And that's how we can easily treat the king. His name is Jesus. If he ever asks for a review or a reference, would give him a very good one. But Sunday afternoon through to the next Sunday or whenever we think of him again, we'll get back to business as normal. Nothing's really changed. At least it hasn't for this servant. His heart, his mind, his soul, his very life, when he goes into the presence of the king, is in turbulence. Maybe he's fearful about what he owes the king and wishes that it could be forgotten. And he meets with the character of the king. His name is Jesus. If the cap fits, wear it. You and me come into his throne room as we are. Maybe we haven't thought about him very much this last week because maybe the aircraft of our lives has been in pretty much in turbulence and we've not had a lot of time or thought to praise the Lord, oh my soul. But the king, his character is one of amazing grace. A song we sing, but sing with our lips and not really with our hearts if we haven't really received it. You see, the servant in the story thought he was entitled. He had this spirit of entitlement. Do you have that? I know I do sometimes. As though everything we get is what we deserve, and when something goes wrong, we think that's terrible. And God wants to change our mind to recognize that we're not those who are owed, who have any right to say to God, you owe me. But as children who from a heavenly father, who looked on the servant as he fell on his knees and had pity on him, and with a sweep of a nail-pierced hand, God, through Jesus Christ, says, you are free. You see, you're in the story. I'm in the story. We're free to go from the presence of the king. When we came in, we might have thought it's the courtroom of the king, but it's a justice where grace and mercy triumph over justice. And this morning, in a few minutes' time, we're going to be invited to receive this sign that Jesus gives his church. His church, wherever we are in the world. And we come not because we're entitled, but because we're invited. You see, you're not entitled. I'm not entitled. But I'm invited by Jesus himself. And the sign is that of bread and wine. And it's a sign that we are receivers, not because God owes us, but because he gives to his children. The body of Jesus on a cross, the blood of Jesus on a cross. Jesus gives his life so that we might live his life. Jesus gives his life so that we might live his life. What does that look like? Look at the story. If the cap fits, Jesus says it does, wear it. And when you go out and you meet that person, Simon Peter, that you were thinking of, when you ask me, how often should I forgive? Do you see him through the eyes of the one who's owed? Or do you see him through the eyes of the one whose mind, whose heart, whose soul has been changed? Because they've fallen on their knees in the presence of the king, in the courtroom that's the grace room of the king. And with a sweep of a nail-pierced hand, that's Jesus on a cross, have been released. Released from every way we've lived life as though we were, as though I was, as though you were entitled, as though we deserved it. There's a NatWest advert, I think it's NatWest, that says, we are what we do. It's not necessarily a bad slogan for an organization. I'm glad that EasyJet do good things. Like I say, I'll give them a good review. But it's not the slogan of the servants of the king's life. We are what the king has given us. We are what the king has done, who loved you and me and the servants in the courtroom, which is the grace room, so much that he gave his son. We are not what we do. We are what we've received. We are what Jesus has done. I finish with this. When you think about what's on your minds, whether it's the angers, disappointments of the past, or the worries of the future, I see my mind a bit like this. Graham, could you just put up the next slide? We're all of us a bit like a compass. And God created you and me. He breathed life into the first man and woman, he created them to be pointing always, as a compass always points in the same direction. As children of a father who's a king, pointing always in thankfulness to this one who loves them so much. But the first people like you and me, even though we'd received the Spirit that gave us life to live God's life on earth, we decided to choose a different alignment in our minds that said we are what we do. We aren't that grateful for what you've done. I'm sure there's better for us in what we can do. And since then, the compass of our minds has gone wrong. And Jesus died on a cross to transform hearts and minds so we could live his life, so we could reflect his mercy, even and especially for those who are the toughest. We could receive his healing, even and especially in those places where the most hurt has been done. The courtroom, which is the grace room, is the room of healing, where Jesus the King invites us to receive his mercy. And the sign that he's given is this bread and this wine, which we are invited to be receivers of. As the band comes forward now, I'm going to pray for us that this sign, sacrament, this bread and this wine, may be for us signs of the transformation, the change that Jesus wants to make in our lives. Forgiving us, wiping the slate clean from every sense of entitlement we've had. To change us into the ones whose soul praises the Lord. To begin this way every day with this thought in the presence of the King that you are the one Lord who has given us a new start. The slate wiped clean. The promise of forgiveness and of transformation that we might live the life you've called us to. In thankfulness rather than bitterness. In faith rather than fear. In praise rather than disappointment. Lord, we come as we are. And we thank you that we can come exactly as this servant in your story, in this parable, in your word of God did, coming into your presence. But I pray, Lord, by your grace, we wouldn't leave your presence as he did. Namely, not change one iota. Namely, going out and living just as he did before. With a sense of entitlement as though what he'd received from you wasn't amazing at all. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to you in all our storms, in all our failings, in all the ways that we are like cracked jars. But would your light, the light of your life, which by your grace alone, we haven't deserved it, it's by your grace alone you put in us, may your light shine out as we call to be your servants, your thankful servants, live the life you call us to. Would you please stand with me? We're going to sing these two songs of worship, and in the second one we're going to ask you who are parents or carers or have bought children to go out and collect your children. But now, Lord, we offer you this prayer of thanks and praise for all that you, the King, have lavished upon us. May our souls praise you and forget not all that you've done for us.